The book of James really does that. It points out, it brings you back to ground one, ground zero. How's that? And if you think things are out of balance in your life, like you got the emphasis on the wrong syllable, then go back to the book of James. It'll really straighten out your thinking. It'll take all that excess air out of your thinking. You know that this is in a wrong place here, because I, you know, James, where are you here? How's that? Is that a little more better? But we're closing our series on power principles from the book of James. Excuse me one second. Take two. See, I get a chance to do that too. Reset. You know, if you got to reset that, you know, being led by the Lord is important. And I can't tell you how many times, when I got out of rock bands, I got saved and so forth. And years later, thank you, Izzy. Yeah. Years later, I would be leading worship and I'd realize I'm on the wrong song. It's just not working. It's not being, and there's several musicians who have had this in the past too. You can either keep going, or you can get honest and say, you know what, this isn't going right. I know the song we should be doing. And just get honest about it. That's what true humility is being honest. Whether you've missed it, or whether you've really got something and run with it. You're not bragging. It says, if you boast, boast in the Lord. It all comes from Him. But the most important thing to the Lord is be honest. Be honest. You can't overemphasize honesty, because that's when you're honest with yourself, that is where you're taking the right road and you're going the right way. But if you're not honest with yourself, you will, this is why the Bible says, if you don't do what the Word says to do and be honest, be open, be led by the Spirit, you're heading the wrong way. And it escalates exponentially. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So that was the first subtitle in the series. Be doers of the Word. Faith that works was the second one. Faith that works regardless that there is no evidence that it's going to work. If God tells you to do something, He doesn't have to give you any evidence. His word and His instruction, His command is the evidence that you need to go ahead and do it. And once you start doing it, the word of God just comes alive in you. Isn't that right? You guys there today? Okay. Good. So be doers of the word. And then we talked about faith that works. A lot of people never really do the word. The word says, forgive as you've been forgiven. And then we get into a situation and say, yeah, you're forgiven? Yeah, right. Not on my watch. You just robbed yourself of an extreme blessing of the fact that you've been forgiven this much and their offense is like this. And you've really got to be hypocritical in order not to forgive them, because you're discounting your own, the mercy that God offers you daily. And we talked about the power of the tongue. Jesus taught it. He ministered it. He used it in His life when He spoke to the tree, when He spoke to the wind and the seas. And when He spoke, He released words. And what He was really doing was releasing that spiritual power that was in Him, the power of peace. That's what He was doing. He was loosing. He said the power of binding and loosing is with us. We can bind things up or we can loose things. So when Jesus released that peace and that peace hit the storm didn't have a chance. Well, the same thing. If you got a storm going on in your life, things that you don't feel like you have control of, try speaking to it. Well, let me back up. Don't try, because we don't try to do anything. You didn't try to get saved. You don't try to get healed. You just get healed. You just get saved, right? Just do it. Do the word. Do the word. Do the word. Do the word. Praise God. Power of the tongue. Sure. It can work for you or against you. Your own words can work for you, or your own words can be working against you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, it says we are snared by the words of our mouth. We are taken captive. We're taken by the words of our mouth. So if you're in some kind of a bondage, if you're in some kind of a place where you feel like you are snared by the words of your own mouth, the good news is that if you got yourself in there, you can get yourself out of there by changing your words. Changing your words. If you have to go reconcile with somebody, just do it. Get that thing settled. Get honest before God and start undoing that snare, undoing those handcuffs that you put on yourself with your own words. And then just enjoy the freedom that comes from speaking the word. Amen. Praise God. What did the Roman centurion say? Speak the word only, and my servant will be saved or healed. And how many times do we really do that? Or do we rely on our own resources? Do we try to jimmy our way out with exaggerations or even lies? These things ought not so to be. We talked about the power of humility last week, how God looks at a humble man and adds more grace to him. Grace is spiritual power. It's the strength you need to get you through or over something. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, walk through it. Ask God for grace to get you through this thing. And, you know, you may be in a period of time in your life where you need grace multiplied in you moment by moment, day by day, week by week. You may need to be in that place, but just keep your eye on the prize, because you're not going to stay in that valley. You're walking through the valley. Praise God. And God will never leave you alone. You know, he's here now. He said that this morning. He said, I am with you. I'm with you here. I'm with you there. Doesn't matter, because he is the flower of all of heaven. He's the flower of the Father's eye. He is the rose that blooms in the desert. He is the one who makes a way when there is no way. He is the one who has all powers given unto me in heaven and earth, he said. So, and he will never leave you or forsake you. He is the one who wants to walk with you. This is all his idea. Prayer is his idea. The gifts of the Spirit, that's his idea. There's some people say, well, he gave them, but then he took them away. No, he didn't. They're still here. The gifts are still here. Healing didn't disappear. You know, Kenneth Hagin, they were using that on him when he was paralyzed as a kid. He was paralyzed in his bed. And a preacher came over and said, well, you know, all of that passed away with the apostles and everything. God doesn't heal anymore. And he said, then he was reading in the gospel where Jesus said, by your faith, you were made whole. And the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside and said, did faith go away? If it didn't, people can't get saved. Oh. Well, faith hasn't failed. Faith. Now, you say you have faith. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by what I do, corresponding actions to it. Faith demands a response. It demands action to it, or a corresponding action that says that that faith is real. Nobody can question Jesus' faith, man. He put that whole thing right on the cross. And it says he delighted to do the will of God. It was the will of God. You know, he was beaten so bad and beyond what any normal human being could endure. And until his body just couldn't take it any longer. And he gave up his spirit to God. And one thing we can know is God had to make sure that the world knew that he was dead. Rome pronounced him dead. The Sanhedrin accepted their verdict. It's all written. It's all right there. He was dead. But not for long. 3 days and nights in hell. And he paid for every last bit of your sin and mine. Every bit of it. Meaning that he was the propitiation for our sin, which means the propitiation for anything is the price in full. You can't do any more to be saved other than what Jesus paid for. You just accept it. People, religion will tell you you got to work for it. Religion will tell you you got to be good or you're going to hell. Religion will tell you that, how much is enough? How much work can you do to be enough to be saved? We all need this. We all need to, because we're getting this funky thing, even driving to work or whatever. And all of a sudden, boom. And you're in a works mentality. You're in a performance mode. And it just starts grinding you. And it's like 2 days later, you realize, wait, this is wrong. But you lost 2 days in just trying to realize what happened. Because we all need this. A performance mentality, we are so susceptible to it because we have a flesh. And all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags to the Lord. Now, I could understand if he said all of our sins are filthy rags, but he said all of our righteous things, all of our attempts to be righteous. Because what it does is it puts our faith in ourselves and our ability to do something to please God. And the only thing that you can do to please God is to receive Jesus whom he sent. That's the guy that you latch onto when you do that. This is what the wedding is about. When they said, when they were handing out the robes at the door and somebody came in and said, no, I don't need that. I got my own robes. And when they saw him, he was different. So they said, get him out of here. He doesn't belong here. He won't put on the clothes that I offer, the robes of righteousness that only come through Jesus. Religion can teach you a lot of lessons. You know, philosophy. But only Jesus can give eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith. We're going to go. You know, I was preparing this, and then I had a discussion with Stephen yesterday. And I said, you know, I'm going to go all over this in my message about the prayer of faith and what makes the prayer of faith unique and apart from all other kinds of prayer. And James is the only guy who mentions it. The Apostle Paul mentioned the word of faith. Right? In fact, Romans chapter 10. I'm kind of shooting from the hip here, Stephen, so bear with me. because we got to preempt. I can't give you my message today. I may tie it in a little bit. But look at this in verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He preached, his gospel was built on the word of faith. What did he preached the word of faith. That if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, you'll be saved. If you believe that Jesus wrote, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There is no other prerequisite for salvation listed in the Bible. Amen. There is no other prerequisite. You don't have to bawl and cry and twist yourself into a nervous wreck or anything like that and sling snot for 5 hours. You don't have to do any of that. You have to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and save and confess him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Period. Period. All right. The prayer of faith. I'll go into this and then we're going to make this short. There are many kinds of prayer in the Bible. In fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me cut over here. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll go in this one. God talks about the armor of God here. Then he said in verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He said this, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer. Now that word all is the word pas. See if I can get my notes here. Pas, it means every or all manner of or thoroughly. So what he's saying here is praying always with all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer, all prayer that is thorough at stating your case, all manner. So there's different kinds of prayer for different reasons. There's prayers of, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, says, I exhort thee therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Four kinds of prayer right there. There's supplications. Supplication is a prayer of petition. Now, he said, first of all, whether it's a church service, whether you're waking up in the morning, whether you're doing something, the first thing you do is pray. First thing you do is pray. What kind of prayer? Supplications, where you take the word of God. You take a promise in the word of God and start praying that promise. Or praying, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you that I have the mind of Christ. And start meditating on that. Help me think your thoughts. Think your thoughts through me. You know, adjust my attitudes. Adjust all of that. Just start with a prayer of supplication just like that. Prayers is simply communicating with God. Amen. And it's not a one-way conversation where we do all the talking. That's the way a lot of prayers are, and the Holy Spirit can't get in one word edgewise. You ever get that? You know, this guy is droning on for, and he's going on and on and on. And there are some people who can bring around the world like seven times and bring him back right in the same place. And nothing gets done. But anyhow, it's activity versus productivity. Prayers is communing with God and being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your prayers, to guide and direct your decisions, to guide and direct your responses and reactions to life. Prayer. Prayer can diffuse all kinds of stuff. Do it first. Intercessions. He says pray intercessions. Intercessions is praying for someone else or a group of people. How much time do you spend praying for President Trump? You know, these guys are in the pit. Washington, D.C. is a spiritual infestation because it's the target of the enemy. And I don't care if it's Joe Biden. I don't care if it's whoever is in there, President Trump. He doesn't need criticism. He needs prayers. because if God's will is done, no matter who it, you know, Truman said, you know, Harry Truman, he said, you know what? If nobody cared who got the credit for it, we'd get a whole lot of things done. And Harry Truman was a Democrat. But he got World War II ended. And that's what Trump is trying to do in Iran. And he'd like nothing more to do than just bomb the whole thing and get, I mean, for 50 years they have been murdering the world. Terrorism, murder. They're a murderous regime. Just, it's a political system. It's not a religion. They use religion to mask it. But it's a political agenda. It's a murderous one, too. Intercession. So how much time are you praying, interceding for President Trump, for his cabinet, for the Senate, to come into some kind of agreement for Congress to pass laws that actually make sense? Or to eliminate, how many laws should they just take off the books? There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of laws, and they'd still want to make new ones. Anyhow, this is not a political thing here today. There will be time for that in November. Giving of thanks. Develop a lifestyle of thanksgiving and let that lifestyle just be pleasing to God. Then there's the prayer of agreement. These are all kinds. Why am I saying this? Because I'm distinguishing the prayer of faith from something else. All of these prayers, and let me get to this. All of these prayers can be prayed over and over and over and over again, daily. Just like the Ephesian prayer, where Paul says, I unceasingly give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. And he goes on. He's praying that continually. That's an intercessory prayer for the church. And that's not just for the Ephesian church. That's for you. And it's a prayer from the Holy Spirit that you can pray for yourself over and over and over. Why is that? Why do we need to pray those prayers again? Well, because everybody has a progressive growth of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. It's all progressive as we grow in the Lord. And our understanding grows. And we need more. We need those prayers as we grow. As a continual feeding. A continual blocking out of the enemy. A continual wall that we're building. A hedge around each other by praying those things. And praying those things for ourselves too. Because as you're praying those things. I don't know. Have you ever read the Bible? And then you've read a scripture 200 or 300 times? And all of a sudden, wow! I never saw that before in my life. And it's just a fire on the inside. And you start getting lit up. Well, that's the same thing your prayers do. They add up and they add up and they add up. Boom! And all of a sudden, the light of revelation comes to you. And it is a workable thing. You have a workable knowledge and our understanding is clear. And the eyes of your understanding become flooded with light, and you can see now that you couldn't see before. Amen. And most importantly, you can see yourself as you've never seen yourself before, because that word is like a mirror. That's right. James said that in the first chapter. You know, the word of God does the same thing to you in the spirit as your mirror does to your natural man. And you look in that thing, and you're looking at, well, this morning it was kind of rough. I looked in that mirror. I said, I am not bowing my knee to what I see. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And I'm walking in God's power and all of his might. There's a song in there somewhere. Praise God. See, you got more working for you than against you. Power of agreement, power of prayer, praying in the Spirit, praying prayers of declarations. These are all manners of prayer. Do you know when Elijah, it says in James chapter 5 that Elijah, a man of like passions, was like us, prayed that it would not rain for a period of 2.5 years. If you look at that prayer and what he prayed, he You know what it was? He went to King Ahab. I don't know how he got before King Ahab. Nobody really could, but this prophet got before Ahab. And he said, Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And James called that a prayer of faith. James called that a prayer. It was a declaration. You'd be surprised. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, it starts with four declarations before he even gets to a question. Our Father, which art in heaven, you are in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you love me and that you have all the resources of heaven, all the ministries of heaven, all the light and revelation I ever need. You have that. And I ask you for what I need right now. I ask you for it. Which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Just start praising the name of the Lord. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rea. The Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Nisi. The Lord. Our banner of victory. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. I am filled with the peace of God. The same peace that filled. That storm, the calmness is filling me. You know, and just go, his name, his name, his name. Hallowed be thy name. That's the second declaration. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why do we have to pray that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Oh, I thought God was sovereign and that everything happened because it was God's will. No, you got to pray. Jesus said, you got to pray for his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? It's automatic. There's no resistance in heaven. There's no opposition. Here we have plenty of it. You have a God of this world who has demonic forces arrayed against you. If you could look in the spirit, you would pray, God, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay. Point taken. Prayer is a declaration. They're filled. All the prayer in the New Testament are filled with declarations. And you can pray prayers of declaration, which is a calling forth. We'll get to, let's go calling forth. Let me skip a whole lot of this stuff and get to the book of John. John chapter 15. These are things that we ask and petition the Father for in the name of Jesus. 15 verse 16. Says, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Everybody say, Jesus has chosen me. Jesus has chosen me. Don't ask why. Why he chose me, I have no idea. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask who? The Father, in who? In my name, he will give it you. Ask the Father. That came up too. Shouldn't we just ask Jesus for everything? I mean, he is the head of the church. Well, he has a certain capacity he works in. But if you, he, and that Lord of the church told you to go to the Father. He said, look at this. And the next one. John 16, verses 26 and 27, he says, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that you that I will, here. In that day you shall ask me, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because he has loved, you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. So he's saying, look, the Father loves you. Go right to him. In my name. I've made the way good. I've made it so that you can walk right up to the throne of grace boldly and confidently, not weakly. I mean, not in a weak position of begging and groveling and so forth. You don't have to. No, go to him and boldly. He wants you to come before you with such confidence. He wants you to come before him, and the devil is working against you, blaming you on every step you take to the throne of grace to say you're not worthy, you're not, this doesn't belong to you. And he's lying. Why? To get you out of that confidence, because God wants you to be confident. Why? Because confidence and faith are the same thing, and faith pleases God. Hallelujah. It does. It delights his heart when you have faith in God. Praise God. Let me read that again because that was a little tricky. King James. At that day, that's the day that he rose from the dead. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Look at verse 23, John 16, 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That is the way that Jesus wants it done. Now, wait. Do you remember in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John came to the gate beautiful and the man was lame from his birth? All right? And they would put him there so he could beg. That was his income. He could beg. And Peter fastened his eyes on him and he looked at him expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up, and immediately his legs were strong. Now, what was that? That was a declaration. How many times do you see somebody hurting in Walmart and go up to him and say, I have the name of Jesus. I am a believer. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that he healed people then? Well, he's the same now. He's the same Jesus now. Do you want to be healed? Why don't we do that? That's a challenge. I'm challenging you. Why don't we do that? Well, I'll make a fool of myself. Well, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, so ask him the right questions. You know, even Peter asked Jesus the right question. He said, is that you? If that's you, bid me come in the water. Jesus couldn't say, no, it's not me. Ask the right questions, and you will get the right answer. And Jesus said, come. That was a prayer of faith right there. If it's you, bid me come. In other words, I can do anything that you say I can do. That's how you approach God in prayer. That's confidence. That's boldness coming to the throne of grace. I can do anything you empower. You tell me to do it, I'll do it. It'll get done, I'll do it. I don't depend on me to get it done. I depend on you to do it through me. Because I am a co-worker, co-laborer with you in the earth. He never wants anybody to work alone. He never gives an assignment to get you to do it yourself. He wants to do it with you because he loves you. And he wants to see the smile on your face when it gets done. He says, you see that, son? You see that, daughter? You see that? We did something together, didn't we? Let's do some more. And he's a good dad. He is a really, really, really good dad. Now, prayer of faith is something you pray when you know the will of God. Why do I say that? Well, faith begins where the will of God is known. Did you put that together here? Why do they call it the prayer of faith? Well, because you know the will of God. Faith is the prayer of faith knows what the will of God is, because faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't get saved unless knowing that it's God's will for you to be saved. You can't be healed unless you know it's God's will for you to be healed. And it's God's will for everybody to be healed. Everybody who came to Jesus for healing got it. Everybody. Everybody. And even if they, and when he came on, the people that were already dead, they didn't stay dead. I mean, everywhere he went, people got healed. Everywhere he went, they rose from the dead, too. So he couldn't. Why? Because all of that stuff is the works of the devil, and he came to undo the works of the devil. There was no sickness in this world till the devil took over. There's no poverty in this country until the Democrats. No, I'm kidding. Spiritual traffic in here. God wants you to come to him, and he wants you to trust him. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. The elders of the church are not supposed to chase you down. You ask the elders of the church to come. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. James connects the prayer of faith with healing and forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness. Why is that? Remember when Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you? He was telling them the truth, because sin opens up avenues to the devil into your life. So you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do sin. Instead, start figuring out how you can have a better relationship with the Lord, a more clear and honest and open relationship with Jesus. Ask him, and he will tell you. He already said, if you ask for the nations, I'll give it to you. Why wouldn't he give you that when he was the one who sought us in the first place to come after us and say, I want to love you. I want you to love me. I want to have this thing. Love God. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. Love. It starts that way. And if you're not in love with God, you're not going to serve him. You're not going to, and nothing's going to mean anything to you. But if you love God, guess what? You'll believe him. You'll trust him. And you'll start making declarations of faith that will help people instead of hurt them. Nobody needs your criticism. Nobody needs mine. I got plenty to criticize. But if I'm going to do it, I got to realize there's three fingers pointing back at me. And I'm not qualified to judge. Either are you. There is one judge, it says in James. There is one judge. Hear him. And just believe him. Trust him. Why would he do all this unless he loved you? Anyhow, that's my capsulization of what I was going to say to you. We got a good series coming up next month, too. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's a good one, though. Okay, let's go next week here. Next week. Pursuing excellence. An excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. You know, when I see the quiet guy on the bench up here earlier, John, it's kind of like a spirit of excellence. And Sam running around trying to latch on to everything in the world and thinking that'll make you happy. You know, James addresses that too. He says, look, you honor the wealthy people like they're something. Those are the people who are dragging you into court and suing you. And you're going to give them the best seat? But yet people are chasing after that like a fish to bait. Doesn't end up too good for the fish. And it never does satisfy, because there's nothing the world can offer that can satisfy an eternal spirit. Hallelujah. I could go on and on and on and on, but I'm going to turn it off, period. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful Father, that you have a plan for each of us, a plan for fellowship and for love and for laughing and joy, a plan of fulfillment, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Enlighten us. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of our understanding and flood our understanding with the light of heaven to know our calling, our inheritance, and to walk in the power that you so liberally give us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we'll go from this place empowered to be able to do what you called us to do, to be a light in the darkness, to be healing to sickness, to be reconciliation where people are at odds, to bring peace and honor the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.